Isaiah said, woe is me. What is that? Inadequacy, that the more I see God in his holiness, the more I see myself in my sinfulness.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., senior pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today as we continue our message from Hebrews 12, preparation for your destination. You know, one of the things that we've been taking a look at over the past number of days has been the fact that it really is a journey. This pursuit of holiness and this walk with Christ is just that. It is a walk. It is a pursuit. God doesn't just, in a sense, save us and make us perfect, holy beings. We go through this process called sanctification. That's where God, over a lifetime, slowly begins to conform us, shape us, mold us more into the image and likeness of his son, Jesus. And I think that's really God's graciousness, that that is a process. Because if we really saw God for who he is in all of his holiness and all of his perfection, like Isaiah, we would be on our faces, recognizing just how depraved, how sinful we are. But if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've probably seen how God has gradually, slowly, begun to show you more and more of the sin in your life, different areas that he is, in a sense, bringing to conviction, challenging us to work on, to pursue holiness and righteousness in our walk with him. We're going to continue to look at that on today's broadcast. So if you can, join us in Hebrews 12 as we continue the message, preparation for your destination. Here's Pastor Ford.
His presence, the Lord, is in his holy temple that all the earth keeps silent before him. But I look out and see everybody not going in their Bible app. Some are texting and tweeting and some are doing their emails and text messages and irreverent. Might as well really not be here. Anybody remember you grew up in the church? Your mom was in the choir. You were by yourself. You were cutting up. All she had to do was just look. There was a look. And that look told you everything you needed to know. And you sat there hoping that you weren't going to get it afterward. Reverence. Remember there was a time when only the deacons and the preachers would touch the communion table. I was at Asia Baptist, I'll never forget it. Kid had his foot on the wall, and the pastor, who was not his father, went up, smacked his leg down off of the wall, and said, where do you think you are, at home? This is the house of God. How dare you disrespect this house? Then he grabbed him by the ear and took him to his mama and said, this boy need his behind whipped. He had his feet on the wall of the church. And that mama took that boy to the bathroom, and all we could hear is, I ain't going to do it no more. Mama, I ain't going to do it no more. I say, if we did that here, the sanctuary would be empty. Yeah, and so he says, listen, on your journey, listen, Jesus is your motivator, your stethoscope, but you're in preparation. You got to have the fear of God. Here's the second thing, verse 20. You have to be reflecting upon the firmness of God's precepts. No, notice what he says in verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Three times, word, word, word. He's saying God's word is unbreakable, unshakable, unmovable. So then, God's presence is to be respected, and it's undergirded by God's word because God has elevated his word above his name. Or his name above his word, I'm sorry. His name above his word. And so what's he saying? Now, I'm going to save this for later on. There are five warnings in the book of Hebrews about the word of God. And they're all negatives. The first one is don't disbelieve the word of God. So Hebrews chapter 4 says that salvation didn't do anything for them, talking about the deliverance from Egypt, because it was not mixed with faith. Yeah, the word given wasn't mixed with faith. And so then verse 20. How do you build reverence? The fierceness of God's presence, recognizing it. The firmness of God's precepts, reflecting upon it. the fury for violating God's person, remembering it. Because look at verse 20. Let me read it again. I read it before. I'm giving you the Clef Note version of it so I can get done on time, but you can do the study on your own. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much of a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. That was the word given where he said, listen, God has manifested himself. He don't want anybody touching. Even if an animal touches that mountain, kill it. In other words, when you violate God's presence, something happens. Here's 21, and then I'm going to make application. Verse 21 says, you want to build reverence, then you must re-embrace the fear of God's performance. You got to stand in awe of what God has done and what God is doing. Now, I don't know about you, but you know I came from a small family of 10, 9 boys, 1 tomboy. My mama would do this. When there would be a storm, you know what we had to do? Cut off the TV, cut off the lights, sit in the dark, every child in the living room, radio off, everything off, and you better not say anything. And I can remember times when I said, this is stupid, don't make sense. Anybody remember the Fantastic Four, Mr. Reed? He was Elastic Man. My mama had an arm like that. She had to. Because all of a sudden, pow! How she hit me from way up there where she's sitting? She said, I said, be quiet. And this is why. She said, now I know it wasn't quote unquote something we had to do. But we did it because mama said, do it. Because she said, when God is working, be quiet. And so every time there's a storm, we knew the regimen. Just cut everything off. And sometimes Batman be on, man. Wowie, zowie, zap, pam. Cut it right off, Jack, because zowie, wap, pam on the TV was going to happen to my behind if I didn't get in that living room and sit down and be quiet because God was working. Man, what is going on with us today? We understand there should be speed bumps as you approach the presence of God. We ought to slow up, be still, and know that I am God. We must avoid inappropriate responses to the living God. Remember Uzzah and the ark? I would have somebody tell a story, but I don't have time. So I'll just tell a story. You go ahead. You know the story in 2 Samuel. The Philistines had captured the ark. The ark represents the presence of God. In the ark were 3 items. Holler them out. What were they? Come on. Tablets of 10 commandments, Aaron's rod that bought it, and a jar of the manna. And I believe it was a mason jar that the manna was in. We could disagree, but on the way to heaven, God's going to tell you I was right. Anyway. And so it represented then the presence of God and his threefold provision, pastoral leadership, provision, and precepts, all we need. So then what happens? The Philistines realized, remember what God did? They were smote with, the Bible says, emerods. So they said, we got to get rid of this ark. So they put it on a cart and sent it away by 2 oxen. And David and everybody was rejoicing. And they're bringing it back. And Uzzah touched the ark and God killed him. Now, wait a minute. All he's trying to do was just preserve the integrity of the ark. But God had already said, don't nobody touch this. Not even the high priest on the Great Day of Atonement touched it. You touched it, you die. God, that's not right. Well, wait a minute. What's not right is, if you look at the other, all of this was missing. What was missing? Because they had it on a cart when it's supposed to be carried between 4 priests with 2 poles, with the ark had a sleeve in it that slid, the pole slid into, that it would not have fall. It cannot fall unless all 4 men fall. And so here it is. You violated the word of God. It sets you up for disrespecting God. Now, let me just share this. Why did they do that? They were so happy about getting the ark back that they failed to distinguish between what the word says about how you respond to the presence and person of God, and they accepted what the world said about how you respond to the presence and persons of God. You'll get that on the way on. There's too much of the world in the church. Too much. The forms and the fads and the fashions. And we think nothing of it. So, Let me show you what the point of these three verses is. That everybody, and I just took six individuals that met God, had a transformation.
You're listening to Treasured Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called Preparation for Your Destination. And really, our entire life is about transformation, isn't it? You know, maybe you're in a relationship that needs transformation. Maybe your marriage is struggling. You know, that's one of those topics and areas that Pastor Ford is passionate about. He's written a number of books about that, in fact. You can check those out by coming to our website. It is treasuredtruthradio.org. You'll see a link there. It's on the left side of the homepage that says Books by Pastor Ford. Click on that. You'll see the different titles available as a paperback or in an ebook format. That's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
So here it is. Let me put the whole thing together. You're walking along the way. You're dealing with yourself, changing what's wrong. Why? Because Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So he's not answering my prayer. I've broken fellowship. So I need to make sure I maintain fellowship by keeping myself pure. Who can ascend to thy holy hill? He who has a clean heart and pure hands. So I'm doing that. And then what am I doing? I am on the path that God has given to me. I'm not jumping on and off like these individuals did. In the process, what happens? In the process, guess what? Everybody failed in the process. Why? Because when you circumvent the process, you have circumvented all that God's going to do for you. I got to share with you, this is a good place for it. We gave out the unemployment money that you gave, $2,000. And there were 19 people who got $200. I had $200 left. On my way to my office, a woman said, I know it's for members, I'm a visitor, and I'm unemployed, single, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm wondering, did you have anything left over? I said, yeah, I got $200 and I'm going to give it to you because you asked. And I gave it to her. Well, that Wednesday, a person walked up to me and said, Pastor, I heard you gave out the unemployment money on Sunday. I said, sure did. Oh, I wasn't here. And he left. I said, well, no. I said, but why weren't you here? Well, I needed $190. And somebody promised that if I would work with them on Sunday, they'd give me the $190. And they welched on the deal. I worked, and they said, I don't have it, and I can't pay you. I said, wait a minute. Do you hear what you just told me? I had $200 left. That was your $200. But somebody else got it because you chose to circumvent the worship of God to try to make $190, and God had your $190 and your tithe waiting for you. To which he said, well, it ain't too late, is it? You better believe it's too late. Well, when the next time you gonna give it? Whenever. Why don't we announce it? Two reasons. Number one, because if we announce it, church will be packed. We'll fill the balcony up. And that's why I never announce it. Second reason is we gotta wait till y'all give 2,000. And so what happens? You jumping in and out, you in and out, you here, you there. Well, when you jump off the road, Jesus Christ, then what you've done is circumvented everything that God has put along the way to supplement, just like Jada, he's going to supplement things. He's going to buy her a smock. He's going to buy her all those things because those are things she's going to need to learn how to use as she's progressing along the way. Somebody ain't praying with me up in here. And God has all that ready for you. And the problem is you ain't ready for it because you won't walk in obedience to what God has said. Now, let me do this real quick. So watch this. Jacob limped, and we know his limp was a pimp. We remember what he's going to do with the people he didn't love first. So the cattle, then the servants, and then Leah and her kids, Rachel and her kids, and then he'd be on the other side of the river. You already know the design. If Esau start killing up folk, I hear them hollering, he got to take the cattle, then he got to kill the servants, then he got to kill Leah and her little kids, then he got to kill Rachel and the kids I love, and then he got to cross the river and I'm going to be long gone. He wrestled with God and learned what? How to surrender. He met God and learned to reverence God by surrendering to the sovereignty of God. And his limp became his pimp. And what did he do? To demonstrate that he had met God, there was a change. There was a transformation. See, if there's no transformation, you ain't met God. If you keep on doing what you always did, you ain't met God. If I told you tonight before I came here, I met a 18-wheeler head on. And you said, in your car? No, just in my body, head on. 80 miles an hour, an 18-wheeler, and you would say, Pastor, you lying. There's no way in the world you could have an impact in your body with an 18-wheeler at 80 miles an hour and not be affected some way. You'd be dead. So how can you tell me you come every Sunday, every Wednesday, and have an implosion of worship with the true and living God, and you're still cussing like a sailor, still fornicating, still committing adultery, still lying, still shacking, still cheating, still... But you had an encounter with the true and living God. No. Jacob limped. He surrendered to the sovereignty of God. Moses took his shoes off. That's humility. He learned the preeminence of God. Moses, take your shoes off. Humility, that's the preeminence of God. Joshua, take your shoes off. Is it different? Yeah, because you gave it to him. Submission, the rulership or the authority of God. Solomon's temple, exclusivity, the transcendency of God. What does that mean? $50 word to mean God is above everybody. So in the temple, when God was ready to dedicate it, Solomon dedicated through prayer. Then what happened? The Shekinah glory cloud went in. And it says there was not room found for the priest. Now, here's how I understand the word found in that text. They tried to stay in there, but the glory of God wouldn't let them. Somebody holler out, why? Because he will share his glory with no man. And what did they learn? The exclusivity of the glory of God. Don't mess with his glory. He don't like it. He don't play that. And so Joshua limped, surrendered the sovereignty of God. Moses, the shoes off, humility, the preeminence of God. Joshua, shoes off, submission, the rulership or authority of God. Solomon's temple, exclusivity, the transcendence of God. Isaiah said, woe is me. What is that? Inadequacy, that the more I see God in his holiness, the more I see myself in my sinfulness. So that Isaiah said, woe is me, inadequate, when he saw the majesty of God. And then Peter said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. That's the holiness of God. Matthew 17, this journey, along their journey, what did Jesus do? He gave them a stethoscope. In Matthew 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the inner essence of his deity shone through his humanity, and it impacted Peter so powerfully that Peter said, I want to stay in church forever. I don't ever want to leave church. Speed bump ahead, and let me close real quick. Here's what's going on. The Bible says Christ is the Son. Remember when he died, we had two nights in one day, and it was midnight at midday. And remember what I told you when I preached that message? I said the S-U-N went down because the S-O-N was dying. And why did the sun refuse to shine? Anybody remember? Because two suns can't shine at the same time. And so Jesus Christ is the Son, S-O-N. But the S-U-N is a picture of the S-O-N. Let me give it to you real quick. How so? Because the Son is the center of our solar system. Jesus, the Son, is the head of the church. Colossians 1:18, the firstborn of the begotten of the dead. He's the center of our joy. The S-U-N gives light. The S-O-N is the light of the world. John 8:12. The S-U-N gives life. And John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 1 John 5:11 tells us, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God hath not life. You know already, it's the word Zoe. Zoe is always used of eternal life, never referred to man's life unless it's connected with Jesus Christ, because the life is in Jesus. 1 John 5:11 through 15, the life is in Jesus and is Zoe, eternal life, spiritual life, and the life that we have is bios. We have to understand, the writer book of Hebrews wants us to understand, if you're not walking with Jesus Christ on your way with your preparation for your destination, being motivated by who he is, you don't have Zoe life, you have bios life. In other words, you're not really living. You merely exist. You merely exist. So the S-U-N provides nourishment. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. The Son gives heat and energy. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Three words for power. I ain't got time to go through them. Without the Son, the world would perish. Without the S-O-N, we would perish. How do I know that? I hate to get the Bible in this, but now a word from our sponsor, Acts 17:28. In him we live and move and have our being. The sun is elevated over all. They used to think that the sun revolved around the earth. Everybody now knows that the planets revolve around the sun. And so it is with the S-O-N that he's elevated over all. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. At the sound of that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me just close by sharing something. I think I shared it with you before, but that's all right. I don't mind. I remember when I first learned the computer, and I'm still computer challenged, but I was learning computer, and my administrative assistant was teaching me. And so I was doing a series here. I was going to do 8 messages that all of them started with, but God. I only did 2 of them. A lot of stuff I never finished. One day, if I did unfinished messages, I have to do the next 37 years to catch up with everything I started, didn't finish. But anyway, so I told her, I called her up, I said, look, this thing is messed up. What do you mean it's messed up? It's jacked up. I put but God, and it said no references found. And then she asked me, she said, let me ask you a question, Pastor Ford. I said, go ahead, because this computer is stupid. And I told you it's stupid. That's why I like books. She said, did you capitalize the G? I looked down and I had a small G, and guess what? It wasn't the computer that was stupid. It was me that was stupid. The computer was saying, I refuse to acknowledge a small G God. And when I put in a capital G, over 130 references popped up, but God. Let me ask you a question as we leave. Have you capitalized God in your life? Bless the truth to our hearts, our Father, we pray for Christ's sake.
Amen. Well, you're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called Preparation for Your Destination. And if you want to go back and listen to today's broadcast or any previous broadcast in the series, just come to our website. It is treasuretruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, one of the things that's so encouraging about being involved in a ministry like this is regular feedback from listeners talking about how God is using this program in their lives.
Yes, they're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of them don't have the opportunity at times to get to Bible study. Sometimes they don't get the chance to study on their own at home.
Yeah.
But they turn on their radio, and Moody Radio is there. The plethora of teachers and good, sound teaching, and they're able to be edified and built up. And so I know that our listeners want to support us with one-time gifts and monthly gifts. And remember, No gift is too small, because it's not what I do with a million, if a million would be my lot, but it's what I'm going to do right now with a dollar and quarter I got.
Well, if you would like to give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift, you can do that easily by coming to treasuretruthradio.org. Look for that link that says Make a Donation, and you can give your gift safely and securely online, both the ongoing monthly gift and the one-time gift. Again, that's at treasuretruthradio.org. Thanks for giving, thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time here on Treasure Truth, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.